morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here.
Good morning. Mike Cosentino over here.
And today we're having, well, we've been on the air now 7 years.
Wow.
I think it was the first of April.
You think
7 years,
you think we'd have figured it out by now.
And you think we'd have had somebody coming in and talking about the arts in Sedona and the Verde Valley, which are very important.
Well, wait. Sedona.
Before 7 years went by.
Arts. Yeah, I guess there's a connection.
Yeah. So yeah. Who do we have today? Why don't you gentlemen introduce yourself? We have two of the major visual artist organization. We're not going to let Mike talk about the plays he directed, so we're going to
talk about visual. So if you're looking for politics, folks, today we are talking about art. We're talking about art in Sedona, and we got these two great representatives here.
From the Sedona Art Center and from Sedona Visual Artist Coalition. So why don't you guys introduce yourself? Vince, you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
I'm Vince Fazio. I'm the executive director at Sedona Art Center. I've been there a long time, about 18 years, and I started as the director of the school at the Art Center. And this has been a great year to become executive director because we're celebrating our 60th anniversary.
Wow.
60 years.
Don't forget, so
for those of us who can't count, when did it start? What year?
Well, Sedona's only been a town for 30, so let's, you know, I mean, we can, so the Sedona Art Center predates Sedona's cityhood.
It was called the Art Barn?
Cityhood. The Art Barn, yeah.
Yeah, a group of people got together and purchased the Jordan family apple packing barn.
Mm-hmm.
And started forming classes and gathering artists together for exhibitions, and it kind of sprung out of the Verde Valley School in an interesting way because they had recruited a art department head there,
mm-hmm.
and he came out there to teach, and he was a charismatic person, Nissan Gobran, and he gathered people together and got them to create the Sedona Art Center.
Wow. 60 years ago. And let's introduce Mike, and then let's talk about what the Sedona Art Institute, Art Center does. And we have Mike up here. He's from Sedona Visual Artists Coalition, a confession. I'm a member of both groups, even though we haven't had any art people here for 7 years.
Well, Stephen's being a little bit shy. He actually is part of our biggest event every year, which is the spring open studios, and then we now have one in the fall, and he's a participating artist in that event.
Well, tell us what that is. Open studios, that means you can just bounce into a studio? Or?
I mean, it's a phenomenon that's happening all over the country. Open studios have been going on in some places for 50 years. San Francisco has one that has 500 artists, and it's now in its, I think, 55th year. And the concept is basically artists open their studios for a specified period of time, usually a weekend. Ours is April 27th through 29th this year. And it allows you to go inside a private studio and literally see work in progress, see demonstrations, talk directly to the artist in their workspace about how they work and what they do and what inspires them. And it's just a unique way to gain a better understanding of the arts for the public than you could if you went to a gallery or a art festival.
Talk to any artist, and one of the things they love to share is their process. I mean, if they can articulate their process, and most of them can, so they like to share it. And it's if you're into art and you're interested in it, then the process becomes like the next thing. It's okay. Well, you know, I know what I like. I don't know what's good art, kind of thing. Well, I'm just the opposite. I have no good art. I have no idea what I like. And people have been saying that for 60 years.
So how many artists are involved in open studios? And where it's not just in Sedona anymore, right?
Correct. When we first joined what's commonly known as SVAC, the Sedona Visual Artists Coalition. We were the first studio outside of Sedona. Ours is in Cornville to participate in the event. And this one in the spring will be the 15th one. And we did it for the first time in 2013. Now we have studios in Clarkdale, Camp Verde, Cottonwood, Cornville, Sedona, and the Village. And there will be 67 artists participating. When we first started working on this, my wife and I, back in 2013, there were 29 artists. So it's grown significantly. The attendance has grown very dramatically. Their studios, particularly in West Sedona, they get over 300 visitors in 3 days. So it's a big event.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And when you talk to artists, again, they many of them love the open studio. And some of them, the beauty of this is you could have 300 artists in the Sedona Visual Artists Coalition, and you have 67 participating. Mm-hmm. So they can come in and out of it. It's a kind of thing that if you're ready to open your studio and you want people to see your process and you want to do that, then you participate in open studio.
I guess one of the things I'm curious about is what percentage of the people are from Sedona or the Cottonwood, and how many people are from out of town? What's the percentages, or do you have that information?
Yeah, we do. We track that information pretty carefully. We ask people when they come into the studio 4 questions: name, email address, where are you from, and how did you hear about us? Which allows us to fine-tune our marketing for the next one because we have a better idea of who our customer is. And it turns out that it's about 53% from out of town and 47% that are local. So, and I would say in our studio, we get about 40% return people every year. They come back every single year, and that number just keeps growing. So that's also feels good to see that happen.
It's worked well for you personally as well as being part of the
Tell us again, you're doing open studio what days?
27th to the 29th of April.
27, 28, and 29 April, that's coming up pretty good.
Yep.
So you do it in spring and fall
over.
Yes.
Spring and fall.
Yeah,
spring and fall. And the fall event is the last weekend in October.
Very nice.
Let's talk about the Sedona Art Center. What do you guys do? I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff.
So many things. We are also participating this year in the Open Studio. So there's going to be 3 artists that are kind of camped out for the weekend at the Sedona Art Center. We have a ceramist that'll be demonstrating wheel work, and we have someone doing drawing, and we have someone doing painting on marble surfaces. So.
And you have a whole bunch of different galleries. You have a gallery up next to 89A. Then you have 2 other galleries that are open some of the time for special shows and stuff. It's fairly large. Also, and I work in the ceramic studio. You can come into the ceramic studio anytime anybody's there and just wander around, ask people what they're doing, watch the wheel throwers throwing stuff or hand builders building stuff.
It's a beautiful place. The ceramic studio is very organic reality at the Art Center. The head of our...
Trying to say messy?
Well, yes. Bit dusty, but the head of our ceramic studio is Dennis Ott, and he's been there for a long time, instructor, and this year won the Governor's Arts Award for an individual artist in education.
And if I can interrupt, Dennis is a fabulous teacher.
I see.
He's helped a lot of people in the Valley become much better at what they do.
Yeah, it's certainly the glowing things about the ceramic studio over there and everything that happens there. It seems to be a very productive little place down there. I'm looking at the 60-page color catalog, by the way. So when we're talking about SAC classes, Sedona Art Center classes, that alone. Now, one of the things we did in my mass media background was look at the ads to see how much support a publication has. There's a lot of ads in here. So if nothing else, there is certainly a lot of community support for the Sedona Arts Center, as there always has been, quite frankly.
The community really came out and supported us in the effort to produce that kind of, this is a kind of history catalog, so it's got a lot of looking back in it.
I see.
As well as all our current programming.
Well, it alone is a work of art, by the way. So if you can pick one up, put it on your wall.
They're
How many
free.
Courses do you free. Have going at any one time, for example?
Well, we offer about 60 workshops per year, and then a couple hundred classes of varying lengths and so on. The workshops are taught a lot of times by instructors that we fly in from out of town. So we have artists all over the country that come in to teach. And the classes are populated by locals and taught by local artists.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, what's the financial? What's the money involved? That's where I go.
Well, we're about 80% earned income, and 20% is donated or from foundations or some grants.
And all these people coming in to teach, are they compensated in any way?
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
that's nice.
The tuition covers their airfare and their lodging is often covered by Friends of the Arts Center, a few sponsoring resorts of, like Sky Ranch Lodge has been a sponsor.
Let's take right now. What's going on in the center right now? The next couple.
So we
next,
just
this next month.
We just had a weekend workshop with an artist named Scott Connery who taught very intimate still life painting using a black box and a single source of light. Mm-hmm. And he does beautiful work. We have an exhibition of Sedona's legacy artists.
Oh.
This is the fourth in a series that one of our board members, Pam Fraser, put together. And it celebrates artists that have been in town for 20 years, have made an impact, have been impactful artists in the community. And so that's up right now, and it's open from noon to 5 daily. Upstairs in our gallery, we represent Street Side 89A. We represent 100 artists at any given time. And, of course, our ceramics department is always going. Classes are taught by... In the painting department, Gretchen Lopez teaches ongoing classes with us, as well as many others. Our gallery director, Cindy Thau, teaches classes. I teach classes.
If you saw the catalog, folks, you'd see the absolute variety of classes that you have there. You have painting and sculpture and photography, and you have one that I think that's drinking wine and painting pictures or something like that.
We do a fun one, Fun with Art and Wine. Our hospitality expert, Melanie Gold, and her husband, Brian, teach that. And so she really does a good job because she presents, you know, some meats and cheeses and a couple bottles of wine. And people really do enjoy that. People from out of town can come in because it's a two-hour course.
So how many members does the Sedona Arts Center have?
Any given time, about 600 to 700 households and about 900 members.
And you do Loving Bowls in the fall. And tell folks what that is.
Well, that comes right out of our ceramics department. Every Thursday, volunteers come into the ceramics studio, and they make bowls. They're fired and glazed and packed up in boxes until we have about 1,200 bowls. And then we present them in early December. I think it's December 9th or 10th this coming year. And they're all sold in about 3 hours.
It's a huge crowd. The bowls are very, very cheap, I should say, you know, very modestly priced. And there's a huge selection. So there is a crowd to get in there.
There's a line going around our parking lot to get in the door.
And that's where does great. The money go for the Loving Bowl, for the people who put it there?
It benefits the Sedona Community Center, and they provide the chili for the event. It benefits the Sedona Food Bank, and then we rotate like the Humane Society or other nonprofits into there as well.
You're listening to Vince Fazio. This is executive director of the Sedona Art Center. We're doing an art show this morning, folks. No politics, or at least not unless I can squeeze them in. We got Mike up here from the Sedona Visual Artists Coalition, two representatives of the art groups here in Sedona. As we've alluded to, the energy and the activity around SAC, around the Sedona Art Center, is if you're listening and you haven't been over there, and even if you're like me, you haven't been over there lately, you might want to check out, at least if nothing else, just the energy over there is amazing.
They
and the 60-page color
beautiful
catalog.
Beautiful catalog.
The Sedona Artist Coalition is doing an open studio. Once again, as far as all the artistic events that in 50 years of living here that I've been to, this is one of my favorite, certainly. The open studio is a great, great thing. It's a fun thing. It's a thing that you can do as much as you want, and you can limit your own participation and that kind of thing.
That's a good question, Mike. I mean, how do people do this? Because there are now 67 artists, 67 studios you can visit, or they're not 67 studios, 67 artists and 40 studios.
Correct.
Or whatever. So that's a lot of ground to cover, because you can be down in Clarkdale and Cottonwood or up in Sedona, or you can go to the east part of Sedona or the west part of Sedona. How do people actually do this for people who've never done it?
I think most people do it the same way that I would do it. So before we moved here in 2012, we lived in Portland. Portland has a huge open studios tour every year. And basically, I think what I did and what people do is they look either at our brochure, which is going to be widely available in about 2 days all over the city, or they go on our website, and they look at the pictures of the different art. So typically, somebody has got favorite mediums, whether in my case it would be ceramics, glass, and photography would be the top three for me. So I would look at the brochure and go, well, I really like the depiction of this person's work, so I'd circle that, and I would pick out the, let's say, 10 or 15 studios I wanted to go to, and then I would use either a map or I would use Google to figure out the best way logistically to get to those studios. Wow. And I think pretty much that's how people do it. Because we do have a few people that pride themselves, actually, on getting to all of the studios.
Wow.
But they're pretty far between.
Wow, yeah.
You know, most of them, I think, pick, you know, this is the kind of work I like, so I want to go see these studios.
Right, and there are so many artists in so many different places, so that you'd have to spend a couple of days, really, if you wanted to go to all the artists in the Verde Valley that are in the show. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, every year we go to the one, personally, my wife and I will go to the one in Prescott, and there's a couple down in Phoenix that we really like, and you can't do it in one day.
You get people coming up from Phoenix to go to open studios?
Oh, absolutely. Phoenix is our target market. I mean, it's 4 million people compared to what do we have in the Verde Valley, maybe
30,000,
35,000. So we have to draw people from the valley to be successful.
One of the things we've talked about in terms of the political context is how urban, in a sense, Arizona actually is, with 4 million of the 6 million people living in one county, in Maricopa, mm-hmm. and then another almost 1,800,000 living around Tucson. And the whole rest of the state, we think of it as being big. I mean, like, you know, but it's the population is really small. So I think that's really good. Any other advice to people? Say you're local, you're listening to the show, and you want to see art. You think, try to find a catalog where they'll be distributed in all the businesses.
Yeah, they're at most of the businesses in town. They're at Sedona Art Center, the Visitor Center in Uptown. They're also down, you know, all over Old Town and Cottonwood.
And there's a
Clarkdale.
Map of all the, yeah. where the studios are, mm-hmm. and picture, a representative picture of what everybody's doing.
Correct.
And there is a website.
Yes, and there is a website.
Why don't you give us the website?
SedonaVisualArtist.org.
There you go.
Good.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Right, so, it's a great thing.
So, Vince, I mean, you guys have a website, too, very large website.
SedonaArtCenter.org, yes. And all of our classes are in there, all of our workshops. As we develop them, they're put online first. So we're actually always working and developing our website, and we just got a grant to kind of redesign our website. So that's one of the projects we'll be working on.
Well, that'll be a horror.
Yes, right. I think so.
It always is.
Anybody that's ever done
the whole staff are just really looking forward to the process.
Does Sedona, the government in Sedona, the city council disperses the money, does it contribute to the arts?
Absolutely. We get a grant from the city every year, I think, for the last three or four years, and I'm actually a big advocate of return on investment and understanding if you invest, what are you getting back for that money? And at one point in time, we had a man from Flagstaff come down and present to the city council on the results of the research that they did up there, which was part of a national organization called Americans for the Arts. And what that is trying to understand the financial impact on a community when you have an event that attracts both locals and people from out of town. And it assigns a value to people from out of town for the average amount they spend on a hotel, how much they spend on meals. And we used that model and calculated that for the spring tour from last year. Round numbers, the city gave us $10,000 grant, and the financial impact that we made on the community was almost $500,000. Okay. Using a model that's been in effect for, they've been doing this for 30 years, studying the financial impact. So I always try to tell people, it's not a matter of the city putting money into this, and it's like it's just flushing it down the toilet. They're getting a significant return. And if you could tell me where I could invest in a stock for $10,000 and get a $500,000 return, please tell me where those stocks
Mike
are.
Has several of those. He calls them Mike's penny stocks.
Exactly.
They're like a well of money disappearing.
Waiting for my ship to come in. Now, here's my chance to get political. Now, and you don't have to, Guy. You guys are directors of these art organizations, which I know is a delicate position. And if you like to have public support, government support, I think any decent civilization supports the arts. I think, as you pointed out, whether you want to be a decent civilization or not, it makes financial sense. 4 or 5 million people come here every year. A good number of them come here because this is an artist's reputable community. This is why they come here. They come here to see what Sedona has to, just like they would go to Santa Fe or a number of other places. I'm not up on all the hip places in where people are going. People used to go to Jackson Hole, but that was
I think the thing I saw that Santa Fe had become the second largest art market in the country. So there's two aspects of art. There's the art aspect of art, and then there's the economic aspect.
The business, right?
Business aspect. And we're talking about both. And we're trying to show that, or trying to encourage people to get involved in the arts on the one hand. On the other hand, to support the arts and artists on the other, and art community. They have a beautiful, SAC has a beautiful catalog. It must cost a bunch of money to produce, and you guys have a beautiful brochure.
But I think one of the ways of supporting the arts is by supporting government officials that support the arts.
That's true.
Yes.
I mean, I can't fill my walls with $5,000 paintings or the beautiful ceramics. But I can vote for people that support the arts.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why would you not do that? Because, I mean, public support for the arts has just been, Mike, is pretty much universal. It goes way, way back in history. I mean, there's public art all the time. Look at some of the beautiful public art that's been added to Sedona in recent years. The heron sculpture as you come into the city and stuff. I think that all that stuff enriches the city, public art of all kinds, visual, and the festivals that we have. All of that makes it a richer, more interesting place to live.
It is. Well, one of the things you notice about Sedona is the art in public spaces here. Not to demean our sister communities or brother communities, they
You know, Cottonwood is a little behind, but they have some. And it seems like as you drive, if for that initial impact, if that's what we're talking about, the art that is publicly displayed is a huge impact on the visitor. And it's once again, a really cool thing.
Suppose you're an artist in Sedona and you're not participating in either of your organizations. Why should you do it? I mean, you're an artist, like, oh, I'm just a loner and I'm, you know, hanging out by myself and doing my thing. Why should I go to the classes and exhibits and stuff? I'll sell my stuff on the internet.
Well, and I think there's definitely artists that operate that way. But the fact that, you know, over the last 5 years, we've grown from 29 artists or 27 artists, whatever it was back then, to 67. The organization's grown. SFAC's now got 155 members, I believe. I think artists are looking, you know, for community. And the more we can do as SFAC and as SAC to help bring about events that cause that thing, that, you know, that camaraderie to happen, I think they're really important. In fact, I just went to an event last week held at a potter's studio. She invited 15 potters over for lunch just to talk about pottery. And we're going to try to keep that going and move it to a different studio every month. And I think it's important.
And Vince, I mean, I go to the one of the ceramics courses, and I think a lot of people in there are very, very experienced potters and ceramicists, and they're there for camaraderie, aren't they? I mean, you know, and there's the facilities, and otherwise you're sitting alone all your, you know, all your time.
Ceramics is a very community or kind of social event, the ceramic studio.
And it's different than the other arts.
It is. We do an event that brings a lot of painters together that often are working on their own. It's called the Sedona Plein Air Festival.
Must be real loner guys, because those are the people who go out and paint by themselves.
There you go. The Van Goghs out there.
Guys and girls. I mean, it's about 50% women, and it's a very interesting event. They do, when they're participating in a festival like the Sedona Plein Air Festival, they kind of gather into groups of four, five, three, and go out together and paint. So it's a really wonderful time for them to get together and share information and so on. We invite 30 artists from around the country that come in for that event. And so a lot of them know each other from other events and so on, but they only see each other once in a while. So it's a great group of people. It's a competition. Some people call it a competition, but I don't really see it that way, you know. Sure.
How is it a competition?
There are some awards.
Ah.
The paintings are for sale, right?
Yeah.
Sells the most is the.
But in a way, it's no more of a competition than Open Studios is a competition.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and the artists are just a wonderful group of people. Plein air painters are some of my favorite artists. I guess yes, I do it too.
And it sounds like you really enjoy your job.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot of fun. There's so much variety. There's always stuff going on. There's always stuff to promote and develop. And there's a lot of parties too. We have a lot of receptions and art.
That's
receptions.
Right.
A lot
of white wine and cake.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the other events that we want to first talk about. SAC. We want to talk about Sedona Art Center. And your
Hit on Loving Bowls and the Sedona Plein Air Festival. We do have a kind of one-off event coming up in May, which is an exhibition by an artist named Kevin McPherson. And he's really well known as a promoter of plein air painting and the idea of painting from life. That's kind of at the heart of that.
So, I think most people don't know that an awful lot of landscape painting's done from photographs, right? The artist is not actually standing out there painting beautiful pictures of the giant red rocks.
Right.
Especially when it's 100 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So is that when you have the plein air festival when it's 100 degrees, Vince? And
it's October 13 through 21.
So it's really comfortable.
I think we've landed on the sweet spot.
You have.
As far as the weather goes, it's been really a great time of year to do it. Kevin comes in and he's doing an exhibition called Chinese Characters, which are paintings done from life in China, portrait paintings. So he's kind of veered off into a new realm, and he's offering a workshop and presenting this exhibition. So that's going to be kind of neat. Opens May 11th, and then he'll be here for a gallery talk on May 26th, and then he presents his workshop right after the Memorial Day weekend.
What else you got coming up? Maybe like annual events. Besides, you could do, you know, the...
Well, the other interesting thing coming up in the summer is the Sedona Summer Colony.
Oh, my.
That's an artist residence program. So artists come out in order to kind of get away from the rest of their lives, get into experience a new space, network with other artists, but also to have some of that sweet body of time to develop new work or to finish a project or to start a new project.
Sort of an artist in residence kind of program, you know, they have other places. Well, that's great. And, yeah. And there's no, you're not going down to the creek and swimming naked.
Oh, they might need to do that too, you know, to cool off because it is during the summer.
Where do they stay? At the Verde Valley School?
They stay at the Verde Valley School. There's two meals a day served there, and there's all kinds of different mediums and artists of all kinds of different ages there.
Does this fill up? How's this work?
Yeah, this has been a really neat program. It goes for 3 weeks in, about the middle of July to about August 11th, I think it ends. Mm-hmm. And this year we're presenting some workshops along with that program. So we have five different workshops that are can kind of kickstart a residency. Those workshops are also really a nice fit for public school teachers. And because they're in the summer,
sure.
We have some scholarship funding that's been donated to us recently by a retired school teacher who has done that kind of programming herself. And so we have $5,000 of scholarship funds for local public school teachers to participate in those workshops.
Great.
And that gives them continuing education credit as well.
I would also jump in here and say I've gone to the Summer Colony every year, and when you were asking about community and artists being involved, they have several potluck dinners during the during the colony where they invite people from the community, anybody who wants to attend, and it gives them a chance to network with local people who they may have never met before who are interested in the arts. Plus, meet these artists from all over the world who are very, very interesting. And then after dinner, you go around and look at the different work being produced by these artists. So it's a wonderful thing for the community to get involved in. And SAC has done a real good job with outreach to get the word out to people, and it gets bigger and more successful every year. So it underscores your question about community, I believe.
It also underscores the topic of economics.
Right.
In a big way.
It's a really, really fun program. So watch for the potlucks.
No, it sounds like a great... you know, artists in residence. I mean, there's as many models all over the country and in various places that are known for art. And then certainly this one sounds as viable as any. And it sounds... In fact, I'm going to pretend I do some art. I can... blow the dust off my camera and show them all my black and whites that have been...
that 4x4 that you got they still make film, right, Mike?
That's right. We're still using film.
I guess my other question is, the economics of art. People do actually come here and buy art from artists and also visit the galleries. Sedona has lots of galleries. That's not just you can do an interesting tour of Sedona just visiting SAC and visiting the galleries in town. So it makes a more interesting visit, I think, if you do things like that as well as go hiking and go out for lunch or whatever.
Right. Well, I have read numerous times that there are many publications that put Sedona as one of the top 10 small city arts destinations in the United States, and every year they rank high in that top 10. One of the places I know for sure that publishes that is actually the Smithsonian Institution, and they do that research literally every year. So it's a big thing to keep that brand going, you know, and I believe that Open Studios is quite a significant player in making that happen, because it's a unique way for people to come up here and see art in a way that, you know, you typically can't. And I think one of the research pieces I read that was done by the Smithsonian was that baby boomers, when they go on vacation now, are looking for experiences that they call immersive or immersion events, meaning that they want to learn something beyond just going and looking. You know, they want to go take classes or workshops at SAC. Mm. They want to go to Open Studios and learn directly from the artists about what they're doing and how they're doing it.
Hands-on experience, like in our ceramic studio.
Right.
And they're attracted to work. I think one of the things I see in art buying is people are attracted to very unique work. You know, and I think that whole curiosity about how something is made plays into that as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The beauty of Open Studios is all of those things, and so many different artists, and you have such choice this time, and every time. But as it grows, it becomes a 3-day event that probably not long enough.
Let's ask them, Mike, where do you want your organizations to go from here? I mean, your Open Studios has been going on for a long time. What would you like to see? And also for the Sedona Art Center, what would you like the studios to do?
Well, I think one of the things I'd start that answer with is that we've been talking to SAC off and on about them participating in Open Studios and how to go about making that happen, because it's not technically a studio. And when Vince took over as the executive director, we've worked on projects in the past before. We've worked well together. And so it just made sense to have them try this time and set the three people up who are going to be exhibiting there so that they're demonstrating, they're facilitating people understanding three very distinct art forms that the three artists are doing. And I think that's important, because SAC has been the hub of the art community in Sedona for, like we've been talking about, for 60 years. So it makes perfect sense for them to be a part of Open Studios and help us, you know, grow this event. So we're partnering not just on the art aspect and the studio aspect, but also on the marketing aspect. I mean, SAC has got tremendous marketing clout for promoting the arts, and they've been doing it for a long time. Their database is, 9,000 or 10,000 people who want to know information about art events in Sedona, and ours is it's getting close to 4,000 people. So that's definitely part of us working together, that economic part of supporting each other from a marketing standpoint.
Really happy to work with SVAC on that. SVAC also exhibits with us. We partner in a number of different ways. They typically have an experimental show with us each year that's very interesting. They do some very interesting work with some themed shows. I like the experience of partnering with other organizations. The Sedona Summer Colony is a partnership with Verde Valley School. They're very much involved in every aspect of it. And
One of my continuous conversations with, I worked in public school for many years, our teacher David Lash, who has work in Santa Fe and many other places, and we argued about this incessantly. And my position was, of course, that art is superfluous and not really necessary for, and he would argue that art is a core subject, first of all, just as core as social studies and English, number one, as far as schools go, but also important to life. Thomas Merton said, art enables you to find yourself and lose yourself at the same time.
Great quote.
Beautiful.
Yes. And that's one of the quotes I had up.
An extraordinary quote.
I did.
I haven't heard that one before.
Well, and so Dave, I'm conceding to David, by the way, that he is absolutely
correct. He was right. Yeah.
He was absolutely correct. I was just opposition in this case, the loyal opposition. And it was, the idea is how important art is, not only as a economic thing for a place like Sedona, but it is also important as a civilization thing for a place like Sedona. I mean, we'll raise our sights here. I know we're a low-tech radio show here, but we are talking about that.
Our brains are kind of low-tech,
that
too.
That thing, right? that enhances life to some people, believe, unlimited places.
So tell us how people can contact Open Studios, how they can get involved, when your next Open Studios is, because we've got about 4 minutes left. And then Vince, tell us a little bit about how to contact Zach or where it is. Most people in Sedona know where it is, but I think visitors maybe not.
Okay. So, again, the Open Studios is April 27, 28, and 29, and then, again, the last weekend in October. And we try to actually, the last weekend in April, it's always on the last weekend in April. We keep fooling with the date in the fall, but once we settle on it, we want to keep it going on the same weekend. So people can, we actually have people who ask us at Spring Tour, when's it going to be next year? So they write it in their calendars. And they come from Pennsylvania and Ohio, and they come from all over the country to come to it.
Well, I invite people to come up to Uptown Sedona and visit the Sedona Arts Center, explore the galleries, but also take a class. We have crash courses, a model of courses that include all materials. You don't need to bring anything with you. They meet for a small duration of time. And they're for beginners.
That sounds great.
It's
that
a total perfect walk-in situation.
That's a great deal.
Do we have some announcements, Mike?
Yes, sir. I want to talk about the door breakfast, April 19th at 8 a.m. This is coming up this week. We have candidates coming. It's that time of year. It's 2018. We have lots of candidates coming. Coming to Sedona is Kelly Fryer, one of three Democratic candidates for governor, facing off against Steve Farley and Dave Garcia in the primary. Kelly Fryer will be here Thursday. Mark Cardenas is running for state treasurer. Bill Pierce is running for state mine inspector.
And the only office that they require a degree before you can be state, you actually have to know something about mining. You have to have a degree in engineering or mining.
Well, and that's kind of cool because a lot of states, it wouldn't be that way. It's an elected position, not appointed. We always have a lot of fun with the Office of State Mine Inspector because, I mean, come on.
They're always the most interesting guys running in some ways.
Anyway, three candidates will be in Sedona on Thursday. And they will be on future shows on Democratic Perspective. We have lots of candidates coming up, lots of things going on. I have to mention that on Democratic Perspective, we have a Democratic candidate running for every office in the state of Arizona this year. One of the constant complaints we've heard in the last 20 or 30 years is how there wasn't any Democrats running, so it was hard to find one to vote for. We have multiple Democrats for every office in this season.
And we have two great shows coming up. Stephen Nash, who's going to be talking about the Grand Canyon for sale.
Grand Canyon for sale, yeah.
Yeah, professor of, I think he's University of Virginia. I may be wrong about that. Mm. He's going to be calling in. And then we have Samantha Powers, I think is her name, and she's going to talk about uncoke your campus.
Right. The conservative billionaires are buying positions on universities all
topic.
Over the place.
If, if you heard the Nancy McLean show, this is a follow-up in a way.
Yes, Democracy in Chains. We talked about that. Don't forget, folks, you can listen to this show and all our shows on bbid.org. Our podcasts are on bbid.org. See ya.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.